Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. I'm going to read this out of the NIV version. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." And today, for just a few moments, I'd like to share with you this thought or theme. Did God really say? Did God really say? Would you help me today? Would you pray that God will have his way? God, I ask you today, hide me behind your precious blood, the cross. Hide me behind, and I pray that the people that are under the sound of my voice will receive from you today. Let me be a conduit. Let me be a vessel that you can use, but let me impart to you what you have given to me. I pray that your anointing would flow in this place today, and I ask it and give you all the praise in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. We all know the story of Adam and Eve, the Garden of Eden. Genesis 1 and 1 says, in the beginning, God created. And so we know and believe that the creation story, as we call it, is the farthest back that we can possibly understand as far as existence. Anything before the beginning in Genesis 1 is beyond our comprehension. We can't wrap our minds around eternity. We can't even begin to grasp it. It's bigger than we are. It exceeds the limitations of our human mind. And so when somebody says, "Well, God really liked baseball because he said in the beginning." No, it didn't say the beginning. I know that's humorous and whatnot, but really it says in the beginning. The beginning of what? The beginning of time, at the existence of time as you and I know it. And so we know the story of creation. We know that God created all things, and that as we are aware of, and even beyond what we can see, he created, brought form to things, and created things, put things together, and then he made man, and then he made a woman from the man as a helpmeet. That sure goes against the grain in today's social culture, is that women were designed to be helpmeets for the man. That's why usually you will find that if somebody, the more active somebody is in arguing or lobbying for pushing, and when I say pushing, I'm talking about really forcing the cultural standards of women being equal with men. And can I say right now, God has created us all. We are in the family of God, and we are all equal in his eyes. But when it comes to certain capacities or certain roles God has designed, I believe firmly God has, in his infinite wisdom, he designed man to have roles that were geared towards his physical abilities, the crazy way a man's brain thinks. Some of the ladies are saying amen on that one. And then God designed for women to have certain roles which are designed and supported by their physical abilities and their amazing brain power and all that they can do. And so men and women are very different. And in our social culture today, current society is trying to take that idea away and replace it with ideas of a man can even become a woman and a woman can become a man. You can be whatever you want to be. Can I say that God created them male and female? Adam, somewhere along the way, didn't look at Eve and say, you know what, I wish I was a woman like you. No, he was pretty happy being a man that God had created him to be. And Eve didn't go along some way and say, you know what, Adam, I'm sick and tired of you having more opportunities at careers than me, and I'm more upset that you get to go out on the oil rigs and you get to lift big heavy pieces of pipe, and I've got to sit at home and cook dinner for all of us. I'm just sick and tired of it. I'd rather be a man and go out and talk to the doctors, those people that change how you look and kind of rearrange some things in your body and so forth and try to make a woman into a man. Can I tell you that you can do all the man-made modifications you want, but if you were born a female, which you were born one or the other, a male or a female, I don't want to disappoint people, but you know, this artificial intelligence is not going to be able to recreate mankind into what they want to be. The bottom line is, when you were born, you didn't have a say in it. You came out of your mama's womb, and you were either a male or a female. And you can't change that. Now, you can change the overlay of what people see, what people hear, but you can't change who you really are, and I can't change who I really am. That's why the happiest people on earth are the people that are in God's service, happy with their place in God, and living for God with all their heart, because man and woman were designed to be in fellowship with their Creator. So we know the creation story as the Bible says. Many may not agree with it. Many question the authenticity of it. And ironically, many of them that question the authenticity of the creation story go around questioning everything in life for the rest of their lives. It's hard to really come to any absolutes unless you're going to, by faith, reach out and grab a hold of the creation story. But when we look at it, we see that the serpent that God created was very subtle. He was a very crafty one. And he looked at the woman, obviously, had different characteristics and abilities to communicate in those times before he was cursed to crawl upon the ground with no legs. He obviously had different physical form and different communication abilities in the garden than the serpent would today. But the serpent looked at the woman and said, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? King James says from every tree in the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but, and she's very clear in her relaying the information as she knew it. And that is, she says, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said. It's very clear. She knew what God had said. Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. 1 Kings chapter 17. I like this story. It's talking about a prophet in the ancient Israel days, and his name was Elijah, and he was a Tishbite who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, and he walked up to the king, and Ahab, king of Israel, and he said, as the Lord God of Israel liveth. Interesting. He first of all prefaces what he's going to say by giving it credibility as a prophet of the Lord. He said, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. He made it very clear where he stands. He stands with his God. And can I tell you that it's important that people know where you stand? Are you standing with your God, or is he just a part-time friend? But with Elijah, there was no question when he said it. He said, there shall be no dew nor rain these years except according to my word. Now, verse 2 is interesting. And the word of the Lord, notice that, the word of the Lord came unto Elijah, saying, get thee hence. In other words, get going and turn eastward. Hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is before Jordan. And it shall be that you shall drink of the brook. So God is telling him and commanding him that he's going to go. And God's telling him to drink of the brook. He's saying, you're going to be all right, little buddy, because you're going to be able to drink of the brook. Then he says, I have commanded, past tense, I have commanded the ravens. You know those ugly black birds that are dirty? That you go along, and when you're driving down the road, all of a sudden you got to be careful and hope that they get up out of the way because there's like a dead coyote or some dead animal, and they're just out there having a good old feast, eating off that dead carcass. And then they see you coming, and they fly up out of the way, and they wait until you go past, and they go right back to their eating. I wonder how clean those beaks are on those birds. And the Lord said, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now, you and I would stop and say, now listen, Lord, what's wrong with a dove? I want a dove bringing me something really sweet. I don't want a raven. They're vulture-like. So he went, Elijah went, and did according unto the word of the Lord. Remember, the word of the Lord that God commanded him, God didn't command him to go grab some ravens and say, you're going to feed me. God commanded Elijah to just go to the brook, and he commanded him to drink of the brook. Then he turned around and said, I've given another commandment to the ravens. They're going to feed you. So he went, did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning. Now, the Bible doesn't describe this, but bread, as we know, is bread. You know, it could be cakes, bread, water. It's bread. But flesh is meat. Have you ever driven down the road and seen ravens with rotting meat coming out of a dead carcass in the middle of the road? The ravens brought him bread and flesh. So, the Bible does not tell us, and I would like to think that this was flesh that angels from heaven took an animal, killed it, roasted it perfectly, put it in the little oven in the heavenly brick kiln or whatever they would call it, little oven, and cook this bread and also the flesh, the meat, and make it just really tasty, put a little bit of seasoning on it, get it all ready, and then call for the ravens to come and deliver that tasty meat to Elijah. The Bible doesn't tell us, but all I can tell you is that ravens knew where to find meat and flesh. So, sometimes we wonder, why is God sending a raven to feed me? When's the last time you saw a little turtle dove or a pigeon? When's the last time you saw, you know, a pretty bird dragging around a piece of meat? You just don't see it. But the ravens know how to find meat. And so obviously God, in his infinite wisdom, chose a raven, which would not be our first choice. Can I tell you, it wouldn't be my 10th choice either. Can I tell you, it'd probably be down at the bottom of the list. But if God had not commanded the ravens, Elijah would have gone hungry. Because if he told the pretty little canaries singing a song, if he told them, I want you to go feed Elijah, yes, God can do anything. But he chooses tools that are fit for the job. And so the little canary, it's too small to bring much meat. Elijah would have starved. He would have had a couple little morsels a day. That canary would have died going back and forth. And also the canary doesn't know how to find meat the same way that a raven does. So God sometimes chooses things or people or situations in our life that we don't like because it takes those situations to get us to a place of strength that we need to be. Sometimes that trial you go through, that hardship, that person that's turning against you, or that job that you lose, you're fired from because somebody lied on you and told somebody that you did something and you didn't do it. All these things that happen in life, we don't like them. They're not what we want, but they are capable of refining us and strengthening us. And that's why God chooses those things. He doesn't just choose peaches and cream in life all the time, because sometimes we need to learn things or be strengthened by things. And so God commanded the ravens, birds that were capable of finding meat and transporting meat, to feed thee there. So he went, did it, went by the brook, and the Bible says the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank by the brook. It's going all right. He's being provided for. He's doing what God said. He went, and he's drinking from the brook. Verse 7, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. The brook dried up. Lord, you commanded me. You sent me out here to drink of the brook. And all of a sudden the brook dried up. What's going on, Lord? I don't understand. It's beyond my understanding why you would send me here and then command me to drink of a brook that dries up. We don't find where Elijah questioned or was upset at the Lord. He just waited on God. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth, or is joined to Zidon, part of Zidon, and dwell there. I want you to stay there. So your time is over at the brook. Well, why, Lord? I just barely got my little hut made, and I finally got my little put together and made some little vessels out of clay, and they're kind of heavy, so I can't take them with me. And I made me a little bench here to sit on, and made me a little bed to lay on, and I've got some shelter here, and things are going good, Lord. Why am I have to leave in the brook? Because I'm done with you at the brook. Interesting that God didn't just send the word, his word to him. God didn't just say, now, Elijah, I know everything's going good. The brook's flowing. Ravens are feeding you. And I want you to go somewhere else. God dried up the brook to where now Elijah has to leave. Sometimes we sit and we question, well, I don't know if God really expects this of me or not. Sometimes he'll have to dry up your brook to make sure that you know that you're not supposed to be there anymore. It doesn't matter how nice a house you have. It doesn't matter how all your friends are. It doesn't matter all the wonderful things in life. When God says it's time to go, it's time to go. And so the Lord said, I want you to get, and I want you to dwell in Zarephath. And he said, behold, again, notice this. First of all, he commanded the ravens back there. He said, behold, I have commanded, past tense, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, we're used to God many times in the Bible giving the prophet a word. The prophet goes and tells the person what to do. In this case, God told Elijah, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So Elijah rose, he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, would you go get me a little bit of water in a vessel that I can drink? She's okay with that. Interesting, I find here, I think it's just interesting. There's not been any rain. There's not been any dew that's come through Israel for a long time. So much that the brook dried up because there had been no rain. And he comes to Zarephath, and the first thing he asks her for is water, and she did not object. I find that very, very interesting. I'll tell you what I think it is. I'm just telling you what I believe it is. I believe that the Lord had commanded her, you're going to sustain a prophet that's coming. My man, he's coming, and you're going to sustain him. So even though water was scarce, she still knew what God wanted. She's going to be used to sustain Elijah. So when Elijah came, she was willing to give him of water, because after all, her brook was still maybe flowing a little bit. May not be a lot of water, but she had some water there. And so by faith, she knew that she could give him water and she would still be okay with water. She knew that by faith because God had commanded her to sustain. So she went to get the drink of water. But while she was going to get the water, he called to her and said, "Oh, by the way, I want to add on to my request. I want you to also bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." Now, a morsel of bread, the way I figure, is not, you know, it's not a whole loaf. I just want a little bit of bread. I'm asking you for a morsel of bread. Not asking you for all in the way of a huge loaf, but I just want a little morsel of bread. Just bring me a little morsel in your hand. And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth." Notice right there, she knew who he was. He came through and she knew that his God, she knew that the Lord was his God. She knew that. I believe it's because the Lord commanded already, said he's a coming. She said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I don't have a cake. I've only got a little handful of meal in a barrel and just a little bit of oil in a cruse or another vessel. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it or prepare the meal and the oil. I'm going to prepare it, put it together, that we may eat it, my son and I, and die." And the Bible says, interesting, he said to her, "Fear not, go and do as you have said. But make me thereof a little cake first." Bring me just a little cake first and bring it unto me. And after that, make for thee and thy son. Now, that's where the test comes. That's where the test comes, because the man of God is giving her more commands than what she interpreted that the Lord's commandment to her might be. So it is an example. God says, "You're going to sustain this man." But in her mind, it's obvious that she didn't understand the depth of what she was going to do to sustain. "Oh, I can give him a little bit of water, Lord. I know where there's a little bit of a stream flowing in the back, and I just have faith that you're going to keep that water flowing somehow, and so I'll help him out with all water. But Lord, don't have him ask of the loss that I have, the all. Don't ask my all." But when Elijah got there and began to ask of the last bit that she had, suddenly now she had to make some decisions. Bible says that whenever Elijah told her to do that, he said, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel." Now notice, she's okay with the water. I believe it's because God just said, "You're going to sustain." She's okay with giving him the water because that is part of the commandment of the Lord. But now he's telling her to go give part of her meal. It's all she has, the little meal in a barrel and oil. And he says, "I want you to give me and take care of me first." He said, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel." The Lord God of Israel is not speaking this in a voice out of heaven to this woman. It's the man of God that is speaking and telling her now, in addition to what you already understood that the Lord God requires of you, "I'm giving you more commandments. And this is what the Lord God of Israel has said. The barrel of meal shall not waste or go empty, neither shall the cruse of oil fail or go empty until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." Right now, she's in a place a valley of decision. She's got to decide, what is she going to do? Is she going to obey the voice of the man of God? If she does, that means she's got to believe and trust that it really is God telling him to tell her. Well, I don't know. He's just hungry, and he's just telling something that's going to benefit him. He's not really interested in my situation. He's only interested in what's good for him. And when he says that the Lord wants me to do this, am I really going to submit to what he says and follow what the man of God says? Because after all, he's just doing it for his own purposes. Here's what she did. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah. She didn't say, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go pray on it, preacher, and I'll think about it. And I'll really try to find the mind of God. And if I really feel like that's what God wants, I'll do it. No, she just did. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And the Bible says because she did that, she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord. Oh, no, I thought Elijah said it. According to the word of the Lord, which he spake by the mouth of Elijah. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? God said it. Eve, you know God said it. He clearly said it. And yet, you didn't obey it after he said it. Here we've got a widow woman who heard the command of the Lord to sustain the prophet. And now the prophet is giving her additional commandments. And he claims that it's coming from the Lord. And she did it by faith. If you and I are going to submit to the words of a man of God, it's going to take some faith. It's going to take some faith, because I'm telling you, it just goes against the grain of my mental logic, my human reasoning, to do what the man of God says when it doesn't make sense to me. That takes faith. But we know that blessings come. Verse 17, and it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, he got sick, and his sickness was so bad that there was no breath left in him. And she said to Elijah, what have I to do with thee? What's going on here, O thou man of God? She's upset. She's frustrated. But she still knows and recognizes that he's the man of God. He's the man of God. What he said before came to pass. He is the man of God. She said, are you come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he told her, give me your son. He took him out of her bosom. He carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And now Elijah cries out to the Lord. And he said, O Lord, my God. Notice very clearly, even when Elijah was distressed, didn't know what to do, this woman is now upset with him. She's now beginning to doubt some things. She's not real sure if he really, because after all, that worked out. We're still alive. But now it looks like my son not only is going to die, looks like he already died. So did I really do the right thing in following this man? We know that she still recognized he was a man of God, but she just wasn't sure if he was right, if he really heard the voice of God, or if he just said some things that worked out. And Elijah cries out to the Lord. He said, O Lord, my God. It's important for us to remember, even when we're frustrated, that he's still my God. God, if you don't deliver me from the fire, you're still my God. God, if you don't turn my financial situation around, I know you can, but if you don't, you're still my God. God, if you don't take this sickness away from me, you're still my God. God, if everybody in the world turns against me and persecutes me, you're still my God. God, if they come in and take everything I've got, God, you're still my God. God, if they come in, take everything and they slay me, you're still my God. That is commitment. And Elijah cried out. He said, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I live, sojourn by slaying her son? He stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord again and said, O Lord, my God. He's making it very clear. God, I still believe in you. You are my God. He said, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. You say, oh, that's what I'm talking about. When I pray, I want the Lord to hear my voice. Have you been hearing the Lord's voice? Have you been listening to the Lord's voice? Have you been following what the Lord told you to do? Elijah is now crying out to the Lord, and the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Elijah took the child, brought him down into the chamber, out of the chamber into the house, delivered him unto his mother, and Elijah said, see, your son lives. And the woman said to Elijah, now, by this, I know that thou art a man of God. I, by faith, was still holding on to the thin little threads of my belief when I called you a man of God a little bit ago. But now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. Can I tell you that when God says it, it is fact? And we say, oh yes, if I hear it clearly in my ear, if an angel comes into my house and sits down and says, I have a message from the Lord, then I'll believe it. But that crazy preacher up there, he's nothing but a bunch of flesh and bone like I am. In fact, I know for a fact that he's had failures in his life. He's not always been point on. And I just don't think I'm going to really listen to what he says. Because after all, if the Lord wants me to hear it, he'll confirm that it's him through a sign somewhere. Well, God's given us signs. Jesus said, you've already got signs. You're asking for a sign, and you've already got a sign. He said, your sign was just like the prophet Jonah. What are you saying? I've got men, preachers, that's giving you a sign, and you won't listen. And so the woman said, now I know. Genesis 3 and 10, back to the setting we talked about earlier. As I begin to close, serpent, we know, told Eve, did God really say you must not eat from any tree of the garden? She said, oh, no, that's not right. We can eat of any of the fruit of the tree, or we can eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but there's one tree in the midst of the garden which God hath said, ye shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And he said, God came along later in that day after Eve had given to her husband to eat. They saw that it looked good, smelled good, pleasant to the eyes, tasted good. Their eyes were opened. They realized that they were naked. They hid themselves whenever they heard the voice of God coming in the garden. God asked Adam, where are you at? He said, I heard your voice in the garden. Just like I heard your voice in the beginning when you told me, don't eat of the tree in the midst of the garden, but you can eat of the rest. Just like I heard your voice and knew it was you, today, again, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid. I wasn't confused on whose voice it was. I didn't wonder, well, maybe I don't need to hide myself if that's not really the Lord. I knew it was you, God, because I know your voice. I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. God said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Verse 17, and he said unto Adam, because you have hearkened or listened unto the voice of your wife instead of the voice of God, and you've eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake, and in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. You know, yes, dear, might put a man in good graces with his wife. But if it goes against God's command, he's going to fall out of God's grace. Because God's command is what we must follow. And in this culture that we live in, current society, modern human existence, in the age of the internet, in the age of computers, and age of technology, age of artificial intelligence, and it abounds, we find that people, if they hear what they believe is a clear voice of God, they'll follow it. But if I don't hear a voice that I recognize as the voice of God, and it's actually coming through somebody else, I've got to put it to the test. I've got to run it through the Google Seminary. I've got to push it through the filters of what I believe. I've got to measure it against what makes sense and is logical according to modern science as we know it, and the great minds and professors of our day at some of the most acclaimed universities that have written articles about it. I've got to do my research, preacher, and I've got to make sure that it passes the test before I'm going to follow it. Can I just say in closing, that if we don't listen to what God has said, we're going to die. You say, well, I know we're all going to die. No, I'm talking about eternal death. Because you see, there's no death in heaven. The Bible clearly says in Revelations that death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire, along with the beast and the false prophet and the devil himself are going to be cast into the lake of fire. And so when we look at eternal death, meaning that we don't have eternal life to pull us out of the destination that we're headed for, we're going to live in a devil's lake of fire, a place of torments that was created as an eternal habitation for the devil, his angels, beasts, false prophet, death, and hell. That's where death is. It's eternal. And yet today, we have that opportunity to open our Bibles, to read it for ourselves, do our best to understand it, receive it. But God has given men to speak to our hearts. God, and I stand here humbly saying that I never signed up for this. I never petitioned God for this. I never, went through years and years of climbing the ladder trying to become a preacher of the gospel. Can I tell you that it simply, I was called by God to do it. Ran from it many, many years. Didn't want it. Knew the difficulties. Knew the tough part of it. I knew that it wasn't what I wanted. I'd rather go out and chase the good things of life but when God calls you and places a call on your life and you respond, can I tell you that there are men in our lives that God has put there to speak to us? And I wonder today, I just got the question, are we going to listen to the voice of God? Or are we going to cut out and filter out whatever the preacher says if it doesn't match what we believe or sounds reasonable or sounds palatable? Are we going to filter it out if it doesn't measure up to our man-made, self-made measuring yardstick? Or are we simply going to find a place of prayer every day and in humility say, Lord, whatever you want from me, I pray that you'll help me to do it. Can I tell you that when you and I are in close, intimate relationship with God through prayer, he will speak to us through an anointed man of God. Oh, I know he could speak to us in other ways too, but I'm telling you, he has designed this thing for men of God that are called of God and anointed, not in and of themselves. A true man of God is nothing in and of himself. It's only as the Lord chooses to use him. But when a man of God begins to share with us what God has required from us, we need to listen. I've spoken to people in my life many times. In church, didn't like what the preacher said, I'm out of here. Yanked their families, took them with them. I do things my own way. Who's that man? Who does he think he is to tell me I shouldn't be doing this and that? Tells me I shouldn't be on this job. I should find another job because it's not spiritually healthy. Who is he to tell me things? And I've talked to many, many people along the way that was their path. But later on down the road, after experiencing so many hardships and difficulties in life, suddenly now they're saying, I done it all wrong. I haven't done it right. I still don't understand it all, but somehow or other what I've done hasn't worked out. Can I tell you that life's going to happen to you either way? You're going to have bad things in life, bad times in life. But if you will listen to a man of God that God places in your path, and you will follow what he says, if he's a true man of God. You say, well, how do I know he's a true man of God? I'm going to measure him by that. No, let me just tell you, by faith, God's going to lead you in the right direction. If you will be close to God and surrender to him, he will not steer you wrong. And when you and I surrender to what the voice of the Lord is through the man of God, blessings are in our future. Oh, there's going to be some difficulties, but you'll get through the difficulties. There's going to be some pain, but you'll get through the pain because you'll be in good graces with God. I wonder today, what's in your mind? Are you beginning to question some things that you might have thought at one time was really the voice of God, but now you're starting to, you know, the pool of the world, or the pool of what other people say, peer pressure, or the bright lights of how others do it, pulls you in that direction, and you're beginning to wonder, did God really say that? Or was that just the preacher trying to keep me from having a good time, from living a good life? As we all stand, I wonder, as they sing today, if you'll ask yourself, am I still believing in God with all my heart? Or am I going to have to go through some pain and some loss and some difficulty before I finally realize that the voice of the Lord, that the man of God was speaking to us?
To do him.
Figure it out on our own. There's going to come a day we stand before our God in judgment, and we're going to realize that there was a higher being that we could not understand. There was a creator that is God of the universe, that is God of all things. We didn't understand him, so we didn't believe in him. We didn't understand everything that we were told that he was saying to us, so we didn't embrace it. We did it our way, and now we're standing before him speechless because there's nothing we can say except, I lacked the faith to believe and trust in God. If you and I are going to get over to heaven and miss the eternity with the devil, we're going to have some faith and trust in God. Faith and trust in the man that God has placed in our lives. Oh, I want to trust God, don't you? When the man of God tells me, hey, listen, you need to adjust a little bit. You're headed the wrong way. I want to learn to trust and know that he's been in prayer with God. He has been connected with God, and he has heard God.